Thanks be to God, and thank you, Sam, for reading for us. Well, welcome to Cross Life Church, everyone. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors of this church, and I'll be speaking from that passage today. A piece of good news recently in my life. Good feedback from things is always welcome. So just hearing that my thesis is on track and that my sermons are not too bad is always good news for me to hear. But I think especially one of my friends has recently gotten really sick. And so hearing that he's gotten a little bit better is actually kind of a piece of good news for which we're thankful as well. Good news is our topic for today, because that's what the word gospel means. The word gospel just means good news, and Christians believe the gospel. We believe a particular kind of good news. And I hope that today you'll be reminded of this good news that is central to our Christian identity. I'm going to pray as we head into God's word, so please join with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, your Son Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, called people to repent and believe in the gospel, to believe the good news about himself. Lord, we pray that we may do this. We pray that your gospel will never get old and boring for us, that we will remember it, treasure it, and proclaim it. And we pray that today you may refresh and encourage us with that good news all over again. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what do you think people see when they see our church? Well, what do you think is going on in people's heads when they look at us? It's always hard to get an honest answer to that question. People will rarely say what they think. They usually don't mention that kind of thing to people's faces. But what do you think that they see? There are a lot of things in our church that might give a really good impression. People might look at our church and see a bunch of people who have done really well in life. They might see a bunch of people who are morally good, people who are well emotionally adjusted and mature, maybe a bunch of pretty good looking people as well. And there's nothing wrong, especially with any of these things. In fact, I hope that they do see how good looking we all are. But maybe it's not so good when people look at our church. Maybe we don't make such a good impression. When people see the church, maybe sometimes what they see is a bunch of losers. People who need God as a crutch for their lives. Maybe they see really judgy people, people who think that they're better than the rest of the world. Or maybe they see a bunch of weirdos, people who are really keen about all these odd things like Bible studies and singing. But I want to say today that whether we make a good impression or a bad impression, it's kind of missing the point. Because more than making a good impression or a bad impression, God wants us to make a gospel impression. And that's what we see in Romans chapter 1 today. When it comes to Paul, what Paul wants people to see is that he is a gospel person. He wants people to hear the gospel when they see him. And today I hope that we are reminded of that gospel, that we are renewed in our church mission, and we leave that gospel impression with our contacts in our community. For the next few weeks, we'll be going through the book of Romans. The book of Romans was written by the Apostle Paul. Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. When you think of the word apostle, just think of the word messenger. He was one of Jesus' messengers, and especially to Gentiles for Paul, people who were not Jews. That was who Paul was trying to reach. There was a Christian church in Rome. Paul is writing to them. He's never met these guys, but he's planning to visit them on the way to Spain for a bit of a fundraising trip, and so he writes this letter in advance. But the fact that Paul didn't know the Romans, it actually works out really well for us, because what we get in this letter is what Paul would say to people who he has never met before. We don't get specific issues that Paul is dealing with in other churches. We don't get case law. We don't get Q&A. What we get is what is important to Paul's heart. We get a solid statement of the gospel and the implications of that gospel. And from the very beginning of the letter, we see in Paul's opening words that he is a gospel man, because he outlines the content of the gospel and the mission of the gospel. And so first, the content of the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, short summary, the gospel is the good news that Jesus is king. And that's what we see in verses 1 to 4. He writes, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. When you introduce yourself to someone for the first time, what would you say about yourself? I was speaking at a conference this year and I had to write a bio about myself. They asked me for it. And so I wrote down stuff like, Michael is the English pastor of Cross Life Church. He's married to Jen and has two kids. He is studying for a master's degree in theology. He teaches scripture. He chairs a scripture board. He mentors preachers. Mike loves bringing God's word to people and hearing the stories about how God is working in their lives. Mike has a black belt in karate, he does 5 kilometer runs, and he reads intimidatingly large fantasy novels. Is it a similar thing with you when you introduce yourself? You've got your name, your job, your family, your community service, your passions, your hobbies. Paul kind of does a similar thing here, but you see with Paul that it's all defined by Jesus. Paul is a servant of Christ Jesus. The literal word there is slave. He follows Jesus. He does what Jesus says. He depends on Jesus to look after him and provide for him, because that's what slaves do with their masters. Paul is called to be an apostle. His job is to be that messenger of God. And so Paul is one of the special messengers of Jesus to pass on that message that he heard from Jesus. And that special message is the gospel of God. The gospel means good news. And so Paul's calling in life is to get the gospel out. But what is the content of the gospel? Well, we see it in verses 3-4. The gospel is about God's Son, Jesus. And what I really want you to notice from this passage is that 3 times, in 3 different ways, Paul says that Jesus is king. First way is that he says that Jesus is king by natural descent. Jesus is descended from David, who's a king of Israel according to the flesh. And so by natural descent, Jesus is king. But secondly, Jesus is also king by spiritual testimony. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus rising from the dead is proof that Jesus is king. That's what the word Son of God means. He is the Lord over life and death. He has the keys to death and Hades. And then thirdly, Jesus is king by divine title. He is Jesus Christ our Lord. And so Paul says in 3 different ways that Jesus is king. This is the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Paul says a similar thing in other verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. He says, "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." Or in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, when he says, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel." The gospel is Jesus is king. That is the good news that we have to offer to the world. But why is it good news that Jesus is king? Just say I came up to you and said, I have some really good news for you. And you say, oh yeah, I like to hear good news. What is it? And I say that my good news is that Anthony Albanese is the Prime Minister of Australia. Right? Anthony Albanese is Lord. He's in charge. He's the ruler. You've got to follow him. Did anyone answer that for their opening question today? A piece of good news that you'd heard recently. Anthony Albanese is the Prime Minister of Australia. It's not really the kind of good news that you associate with good news, is it? Right? Like you don't usually make songs about Albo and sing them. You don't make a church based on Albo because he is Lord, right? There's no church called Albo Life Church, right? It's not quite right, is it? It's not super good news. It's not life-changing or transforming. And so why is the news that Jesus is king any different? Well, because it's not just that Jesus is king that is our gospel. It's because Jesus is a special kind of king. You might have noticed that I skipped a bit when I went through verses 1-4. If you look at verse 2, It says that the gospel of Jesus was promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Paul is talking about the Old Testament there, and he's alluding to the fact that for about 2,000 years in Israel's history, God had been sending prophets to Israel, people who spoke God's words to ancient Israel, telling them that from their nation a king would come. But he wouldn't be just any king. He would be a morally perfect king, perfectly good, perfectly trustworthy. He'd be a universal king, a king not just over one country, but over the whole universe. And he wouldn't be just a king who tells people what to do, but a savior king, a king who would die for his people's sins to bring them back to God. And this king would bring in a kingdom without sin or evil or suffering. See, it's not just a king the way that we think about a king. The Jewish word that sums up all these expectations is the word Messiah, God's one and only king, his chosen king. That suddenly sounds a lot better than Albo, doesn't it? The Christian message, our gospel, is that Jesus is this kind of king. He has come to the earth. He has died for our sins. He is risen from the dead. He is ascended into heaven. And right now he is working to make our kingdom, make our world more and more like the kingdom that God has promised. And that is good news, isn't it? When we read our world news, we don't nearly see anything as good. You know, what do we read about? We read about wars and rumors of wars. We read about celebrities dying tragically. We read about political schemes and statistics. But when we open God's word, when we gather in church, we get news that is truly good. The content of the gospel is the news that Jesus is king. He is the Messiah who will bring God's kingdom in. And so Paul has given us the content of the gospel. What he next does in the rest of our passage today is he gives us the mission of the gospel, and that is what we see in verses 5 to 7. Through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring out the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. He is king. He is Paul's king. He is our king. He is the king of the universe. He is the one who sets our mission, our life goals. But what is Jesus' goal? You know, what is Jesus aiming for? What is he shooting for so that we can know what we should be shooting for? We see it in verse 5. What Jesus wants is the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. He wants all the people in the world to have the obedience of faith. Now that phrase, the obedience of faith, is a bit of a funny one, isn't it? Christians, they usually present obedience and faith like they're opposites. Obedience is doing what Jesus tells you to do. Obedience is following commands. It's doing good works. It's reading your Bible and praying and going to church. Faith is different. Faith is trusting Jesus. Faith is nicer. It's more relational. It's more spiritual. And later on, as we keep on reading Romans, we will see that it is our faith that saves us and not our obedience. We are saved by the obedience of Jesus, not our own obedience. Jesus clothes us with his obedience. That's what makes us acceptable to God. We receive that by having faith in Christ. And so Christians have rightly placed a big emphasis on faith over obedience. But maybe with a verse like this, you don't want to separate them too much, because they do go together. God commands us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says to a jail guard in the city of Philippi in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. But he's giving a command there. If you're obedient to God, you've got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. To obey is to believe. But the opposite is true as well. You know, people who have faith in Jesus, they trust Jesus with their lives. You can't say that you trust someone without obeying them. If you're drowning at the beach and a lifeguard comes out to save you and they say, take my hand, you show that you trust them by obeying them. There's no situation in which you can say that you trust that lifeguard and not take his hand. The book of James, chapter 2, verse 22, says that faith is active along with works, and faith is completed by works. To believe is also to obey. And I wonder whether our church has kind of suffered, and I wonder whether Christianity has suffered, actually, because we don't get this balance right between obedience and faith. We think to ourselves, you know, our world is getting more and more corrupt. The church has gone too soft on people. We need to go hard on them. We need to tell them what to do. And then we do that, and we wonder why people get so anxious and worried that God is going to punish them. Or on the other hand, they get so judgmental and superior to outsiders. Well, it's because we have preached obedience without faith. Or maybe on the other hand, we worry to ourselves, you know, well, people don't like being told what to do. So let's just tell them Jesus loves them. All they need to do is have faith in Jesus. And then we wonder why the Christianity in our churches is so shallow, so superficial, and still so selfish and so greedy. Well, it's because we have preached faith without obedience. And so what we actually want, and what Jesus wants for our friends and our family and our community, is not just faith and not just obedience, but the obedience of faith, the obedience that comes from faith. We want everyone around us to believe and obey Jesus, to trust and follow Jesus, to have both faith and good works, because that is what it means to belong to Christ, verse 6. That's what it means to be loved by God and also called to be a saint in verse 7, be holy. It basically means, in other words, that we want to make disciples of all nations. But that is what Jesus wants. And that is what we want. That is our mission. You know, it's why the vision of this church is not to be a community of compassionate and confident social workers, or a community of compassionate and confident social media influencers. You know, our vision is to be a community of compassionate and confident disciple makers. Are you a Christian who is on board with the mission of the gospel? Are you working to help bring about the obedience of faith in others? Does that drive the things that you talk about with people? Does it drive where you put your money, what you do with your spare time, what you read and what you teach others and what you play? Does it drive what you teach your children? Being a Christian and not being on mission, it's like being an actor in God's drama, turning up on stage without a script and forgetting the part that you're meant to play. Christians who believe the gospel know the part they are meant to play. They are on about the mission of the gospel to bring about the obedience of faith and to make disciples of all nations. And so it's absolutely clear that this gospel is what Paul is on about right from the beginning of Romans. And we're going to see that in the rest of Romans, Paul expands on the gospel. He goes into greater depth and he brings out the implications of the gospel. But is that clear for us? Is the impression that we make a gospel impression? Well, I think to a large extent it actually is. Now, I reckon you can see this in our church. Just this week, I heard that one of the younger children in this church just randomly said out of the blue at home, Jesus died for my sins. I heard another conversation with another of our church members who was able to explain to a non-Christian friend that the reason they don't do everything they feel like doing in their life is because they want to follow Jesus and not their own emotions. There are people who ask their friends what they did over the weekend because they care, but also in the hope that they will ask them back and they can say that they went to church. There are people here who organise meetings during work lunches that get people to hear the gospel. And there are others, the brave ones among us, who just straight up ask people, you know, what do you think about God? What do you think about Jesus? Now, that kind of stuff doesn't happen in our church without our people and our leaders and our teaching and our prayers being focused on the gospel. And I think also it seems like the culture that we are in is ready to hear the gospel as well. A recent study by McCrindle Research asked Australians who weren't Christians what words they would use to describe their Christian friends. Now, what words do you think they would use? You know, maybe judgmental, maybe traditionalistic, maybe dedicated. Well, the top three words that they used to describe their friends were caring, loving, kind. Now, there is a decent chance that this is what your friends think about you. 55% of Australians say that they talk about spirituality or religion with their friends often or occasionally. 52% say that they are open to changing their religion in the right circumstances. And they report that the most attractive thing that helps people to come to Christianity is seeing people live out an authentic and genuine faith. Now, even if there's a little bit of over-reporting there, this is pretty good news. What ordinary Australians think about Christians is not the same as the media narrative or the social media narrative. There are actually fields that are ripe for harvest. There is room for us to create a gospel impression. And so if you're here and you're not a Christian, then what I hope that you've seen today is that Christians are on about the gospel. They're on about Jesus being our Saviour, King, the Messiah. Christians are not primarily on about politics or good morals or finding the right kinds of friends or theological discussion. We're on about Jesus. The German pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that the church is more defined by its centre than its circumference. A lot of people see the circumference and they make judgments about the church. We would rather you see the centre. If you are a Christian, then can I encourage you to take on both the content of the gospel and the mission of the gospel? To believe that Jesus is King and live like he is King. To build your life around being a disciple maker so that you bring about in other people that obedience of faith. Because all the other things of this world, our families, our work, our hobbies, all these worldly things, look, they're good things. But it'd be foolish to build a whole life around them. You can build a whole life around the gospel. It is a fine impression to make. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good news that your Son Jesus is King. Thank you that he is the Messiah, the Saviour of the world, the servant King who dies for the sins of his people to reconcile them back to God. Thank you that he is risen from the dead and that proves that he is King. Thank you that he has ascended to heaven and is bringing your kingdom in. Heavenly Father, we pray that we may be people who trust in this gospel of Jesus. We pray that we may be people who hear that gospel and who recognize that that is good news to us, that we're not indifferent about it, that we're not bored of it, but it gives us hope and joy as we live out our lives in this world. Lord, we also pray that we may live out the mission of the gospel, that mission that your gospel creates, and that we may seek to bring about that obedience of faith in all nations. We pray that our goal and our joy may be for other people to come to both trust and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and that that may be our call and our message to them. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.